Let's
Blog
do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. The Prime is Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Wrong, and a crew coming to you live. We got a great show. We got Dr. Bruce in the house. We got our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George and much, much more. Tell a friend, call in. We need to hear from you. Go. Oh, yeah.
Girl, that's what I got.
Better love. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the show. There is no greater love than for self kind. No greater love. No greater love. All right. So it's the Empowerment Hour, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We got Dr. Bruce coming back today. And, all right, just want to get you down with the vision and the mission of Empowerment Saturday and what the African American Empowerment Association is all about. So that mission is to empower, motivate, and inspire our community, right, to do the work of working on themselves. And that work must be done intrinsically. It has to be done with us, by us, and for us. That's that FUBU principle. But let's take it a little bit further when we begin to coalesce and do the work around the country. And then move that into our families and into our households and into our communities where we can do the work of repairing and recovering. From the process of being here in America. How do we suggest that we do that? Five principles. One is peace, of course. And that is to be able to have a political agenda, an African-American political agenda. Who's talking about that? I'm talking about a collective agenda. But we're all working in one accord as much as we can to have a political agenda for the descendants of the American slave. How about that? And we're going to do that to create economic platforms that help us to create institutions that define our own reality, schools, workshops, training, sessions, employment, all of those things that we need resources for. That's the E. The A is simple, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That's mental health, physical health, emotional health, social health, cultural health, spiritual health. All of those things that the individual needs, that's what we're talking about focusing on and re-educating and redeveloping our people. And that's what recapturing the African mind is all about because we lost it, right? We've been ingrained and we've been enslaved over here and we've been conditioned. We need to break those conditionings right now, today, and now to see relevant cultural programs that, again, put us in alignment with our past, but develop us that we prepare for the future and that we're ready to do the work on ourselves and that we rebuild ourselves and our communities, right? Rebuild our family structures, right? And get away from those things that continue to tear us down and deprive us of our happiness, our peace, and our joy. And lastly, is the education. It's a comprehensive education of doing the work of working on ourselves. And that's what we're going to have to do today. And that's the only way that it's going to work, in my opinion. Now, we can all work together. I want to make this quick point before we go to Brother George. W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington had two different platforms. One was personal empowerment through education, right, our talented 10th. And then Washington was more of let's do the work, let's get the skills that we need, and let's use our hands. Right. And so they're busy disagreeing with one another. Why not coalesce? Why not say, hey, you take your part, I take my part, and we do this thing together so that we can help our people. How about that? All right. Let's go on now to the Stan Macklin moment.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's right. That's exactly what we're doing, defining ourselves, redefining ourselves, and recapturing our African mind. And don't let that scare you, right? Because in this culture, in this society, many of the Afrocentric ideas, the culture, the system have made us afraid of being who we are, right? Let's embody that. Let's chin up, chest out, and let's begin to believe in ourselves once again and reclaim our rightful place on this planet. All right, now, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa segment, Brother George. I'm bringing it. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show, y'all. Bring it here, Brother George. You know we right here. We ain't going nowhere except back home, if that's where we're going anyway. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. Peace to everyone. And once again, I appreciate you allowing me to do the segments that I do. And today, from the Nguza Saba, our principle, our Kwanzaa principle is going to be Ujima, collective work and responsibility, to build and keep our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems, and to solve them together. Ujima, shaped to represent an enclosed and secured compound house. This is a symbol of safety and security, brotherhood and solidarity. It reminds us of the inner sense of security that comes with being a valued and respected part of our community. That's just a little write-up that they have in this book called Practicing Kwanzaa Year Round, because we need to do that. Today, in the Willie Lynch segment, I'm reading from a book by Dr. Wesley Muhammad, and it's called Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity. Now, this is a question that's being asked by Michelle Alexander, Professor Michelle Alexander. Disappearing the Black Male. Professor Michelle Alexander asked the question in 2010, where have all the black men gone? A recurring question has surfaced in mainstream and ethnic media for more than a decade. The phrasing of the question differs depending upon who's asking the question and why. But the question tends to boil down to this: where have all the black men gone? They're missing in churches, missing from their families, missing from the college campus, and absent from work. Black men, black women can't find a man to marry. Black children don't know where to find their father. Where are these guys? Hint. Here's a hint for all those still scratching their heads about those missing black fathers. Look in prison. The mass incarceration of people of color through the war on drugs is a big part of the reason that the black child born today is less likely to be raised by both parents than a black child born during slavery. The absence of black fathers from families across America is not simply a function of laziness, immaturity, or too much time watching sports center. Hundreds of thousands of black men have disappeared into prisons and jails, locked away for drug crimes that are largely ignored when committed by whites. That was a great question, and I thought that was a great answer that the brother gave. But this book is focused on, you know, the assault on the black man in America and probably throughout the world, you know. But I thought that question is something that that we all need to think about, you know, how we can prevent that from continuing to happen. And so, brother, that's my segment today. I appreciate you. If you don't have any questions, then it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you. I do have one question. It's kind of like cheese on the traps, but peanut butter on the traps. We got to stop eating off the traps, man, right? And
right.
Keep our men and our women out of these jails and prisons and out of these systems. What's the one thing that you suggest for our listeners that we can put down into our families and our communities?
We need to overload our young people with black pride, black accomplishments, understanding of our black selves, and we need to just have an overload, constantly, you know, flooding our young people with positive images of ourselves and who we are and what we have accomplished as a people. And it will give them a sense of self-worth, which is something that many of our young people don't have today because they don't feel like they're worthy. And so to kill another nigga, what is that? That don't mean nothing. You know, they ain't nothing. So that's my answer, brother.
Hey, thank you. That's honest. All right. That's so true. All right. So let's get on with the show. I do have to make an announcement. I made a mistake, so the show is going to be an hour. I pressed the wrong button, so we're going to have to end at 3 today Eastern. Dr. Bruce, I'm going to bring you in now, but we probably have to cut the Q&A a little bit today. I do apologize, but we'll make it work. Now let's bring Dr. Bruce in to get the show started, recapturing the African mind with Dr. Bruce Bridges. You know how I'm doing it. Okay? Uh-huh. Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce Bridges, are you there?
I'm here, my brother.
All right. Welcome to the show. I don't know if you heard the announcement. I made a mistake.
I did.
So I apologize to you. Next time I'll give you more time or whatever we need. But we got until 3 Eastern today, so we got on my clock 47 minutes. So if you could do 40, that'll work, and we could do 7, a couple of Q&As or maybe cut it down a little bit. But let's just flow, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll do it that way. And I hope that our listeners did hear the program last week when you had the dynamic and very intellectual, scholarly Dr. William Rogers speaking on the program.
That's right.
And I, of course, aided him with the program, and I hope that people did learn something from these programs that we're doing on Saturday afternoon. Our main objective here is to enlighten our people and to make them wake up from their sleepiness, from their death, mental death. You see, sometimes we as people don't understand that things occur on more than one level, and that's why I stress mental death, because we think that death is only physical, but there are people walking around every day, 24 hours a day, or sleep 24 hours a night, but living 24 hours a day, but they are mentally dead. The dead is walking around today, and we're trying to wake up the dead on our program here, the African American Empowerment Program. So I hope that people are learning. Please call some friends, call somebody, give them the phone number or the website, and have them to tune in. They still have about 45 minutes. If you got somebody you want to call in, call right quick and have them to tune in to the program. So shout out to Dr. Rogers. Hope he's doing okay today and hope he's listening.
Yes, sir.
And really enjoyed doing the program with him. And also, before I give it back to you for a minute, Brother Marvin, is to make an announcement. That is, I understand that people sometimes listen on their computers and may want to order a copy of my book or have a question or comment that they don't call in about, but they can send it to me on my email address, which I'm going to give, and they can email me from anywhere in the world. And my email address is very simple, Bruce Bridges, lecturer, bruce.bridges@gmail.com. That's Bruce Bridges, B-R-I-D-G-E-S, lecturer, L-E-C-T-U-R-E-R, Bruce Bridges, lecturer, @gmail.com. If they have questions, comments, things they want to bring up and they can't call in, I'm going to start checking that email address to see if people want to join us sometimes who can't join us on the phone. That's Bruce Bridges, lecturer, @gmail.com. Okay, Brother Marvin, let's go back to you for a minute. So thank you very much for having me today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Great, great, great announcement. Again, get the book. Call them. Order the book, right? 919-956-5972 if you want to call in and order the book. Or you can send Dr. Bruce an email. Bruce Bridges, lecturer, @gmail.com. Now, before we get started today, I wanted to follow up on a conversation that you and Dr. Rogers had last week about Harvard University. You guys mentioned the influence that Harvard has had on education and the influence that has directed the thinking of many institutions in our country. Can you just touch on that before we get into the lecture today?
Yeah, I will. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked that, and to those who are tuned in, too, that will be, as we agreed, I think, on last week, to be one of our upcoming full programs, one of our hour-and-a-half programs about the so-called Ivy League institutions in this country and how they were and still are in some ways connected to slavery and the slave trade in this country. But since you mentioned about Harvard, first of all, Harvard is considered to be by black people and by white people because we got it from black, and by black people because we got it from white people, the flagship university in the world. And of course, Howard is the oldest university in this country, and it has tremendous ties to the slave trade. As a matter of fact, I just read a newspaper article last week about a commission that was established by Ruth Simmons, the president of Brown University, and also Harvard. They put out information about the connection between the slave trade. But just a little bit more information on that. This whole story of connections between Ivy League universities and slavery is really a northern story, because for many, many years, the only university in the South was William & Mary University. And Harvard and several others were Yale and Brown and several others in the Northeast. But it's really a northern story. And Harvard, from 1636, when it was actually founded, and then in 2 years later, 1638, they had a black man working on campus of Harvard University who would run errands for the president and go get his food and go get the mail and all kinds of things that whatever he needed to have done. And they called him the Moor. They called him the Moor. He was a black man. They called him the Moor, which is another story. It goes back to what we actually were when we came to this country. But they called him the Moor. And then, of course, you had Harvard had two main connections with the slave trade. Number one is that Harvard housed enslaved people on the campus, and in housing those enslaved people on the campus of Harvard University, they also worked those enslaved people on the campus of Harvard for nothing. They were housed or captured, enslaved on the campus, but not only that, they worked on that campus for nothing. Many of the buildings, some of the buildings there right now on Harvard campus were built by enslaved people. And also, if you go into the museums of Harvard University, you will find research that is being done on black people. And when we look at the whole idea of racism in this country, many of the professional schools at these universities, such as the law school at Harvard, the engineering science school at MIT, when you look at the medical school at Dartmouth University. And since I mentioned, too, Dartmouth University even had a situation where they had a black man who was whose body was immersed into water after he was killed, and then they put him in boiling water, took the skin from his body, and then that skin and separated it as it had been from boiling water, and then put the skeleton up and began to develop lectures. Professors began to develop lectures around the skeleton of that particular African American enslaved person, you see. So when we look at the foundations of education in this country, as I call this false, fake, fictitious, phony education that we receive in this, a lot of the research is actually done on people of African descent. For example, Louis Agassiz, who was one of the fathers of the eugenics movement, or the movement for racism, and the movement that tried to prove that African people were inferior to European people. Louis Agassiz took the body of an enslaved person, and they call those bodies cadavers, dead bodies, as some people may want to put into their vocabulary, cadavers. But these bodies, or this particular enslaved person's body, was his skin was taken from his body, then the skin was tanned, just like you tan the hide of an animal, a beaver or a deer or any kind of pelt or skin. So they took the skin from his body, tanned the skin, and then he took that skin and used it to encase his instrument case, to put it around his instrument case, and this, that was done to the skin. He took the skeletal remains or the skeleton and put those skeletons in the laboratory at Peabody Museum at Harvard University. It's still there now, and hung it up, and then the students look at those bones and start to do research on the human anatomy. You see, so the whole idea of education in this country, and if it comes to medical education, if it comes to the law school at Harvard, which is another story people can look up on their own a little later, the whole law school at Harvard University was founded on the basis of a Negro enslaved person. And then when you look at the fact that schools like MIT, money was made from the slave trade in the South to endow chairs for professors at these Ivy League schools. Money was made from the slave trade to endow chairs at universities, and then at the same time, these universities like Harvard, Brown, and Yale would donate money to the plantation system in the South and also in the Caribbean. So you have a connection here between the universities in the North, the Ivy League schools, and slavery and the slave trade in the South of the United States of America, and also in the Caribbean, where indigo and sugarcane was being produced and put onto the world market. So when we look at this whole idea of education in America, there would be none except for what happened on the backs and the sweat and blood of black people in this country. You see, so I hope that kind of answers your question. We can do a whole program on that a little later on, but that's really what it's all about.
Man,
as
great.
We begin to recapture the African mind,
right, we got to know,
and
we
this
gotta
is
learn.
What's important. We have to learn, and this is what's important about this lecture series that you're doing, Brother Marvin. It's important because a lot of this information that I'm talking about today, as Amy Goodman said on her show, now it has been erased by most of the colleges and universities and don't want us to know and understand it. And the reason they don't want us to know and understand it is because if we begin to know and understand it, then we won't hold these institutions in such high esteem as they want us to. And many of our people all over the world, we know, we feel so good about saying that our sons, our daughters went to Harvard or went to Yale or went to Radcliffe or whatever the case may be. But we really don't know that the whole educational system of racism in this country was proselytized by professors at schools like Harvard, and that information serves as the foundation for academia in the United States of America, Harvard being the flagship school, you see. So everything follows that particular pattern, you see. So that's why they don't want us to understand the truth and to know anything in this country, and they want us to remain in darkness. And at the same time that this was going on, explorers were beginning to go into Africa, explorers like Richard Burton and Grant and Mungo Park and David Livingstone, namesake of the University, Livingstone College, and Stanley and several others were beginning to go into Africa to divide Africa into the 50 or so nations that we have in Africa today. There are 15... I mean, there are about 50 countries on the continent of Africa, and these 50 countries were divided and carved out and were actually destroyed, and new boundary lines were created at what was called the Berlin Conference. And to those who are tuned in, that's right. There was a conference held in 1884 on November 15th. It was called the Berlin Conference because it was held in Berlin, Germany, and it was an association that was formed by King Leopold of Belgium, and they called it the Berlin Conference. And they meaning Europeans, opened this Berlin Conference held November 15th, 1884, in Berlin, Germany. They opened the conference in the name of Almighty God. They prayed before the conference was started, and there were 14 states of Europe that were in attendance at this conference. Now, the United States claimed that it had nothing to do with the conference, but historically, the United States also had something to do with that conference. Now, Yusuf Ben Yochanan says that the master lie of them all is a fact. I mean, it's a lie that the United States had nothing to do with that conference, because there were three men at that conference representing the United States from 1884 to 1887. Number one man was a man by the name of John Kasun, and he was an American minister to Germany who served in the Iowa legislature and the House of Representatives. And Kasun had a knowledge of the potential wealth of the Congo Basin. You see, whenever white people have any relationship to Africa, you can best believe that relationship is going to have economics at its foundation, economics as the basis for that particular relationship. And Kasun had a knowledge of the wealth of the Congo region, and he also desired to have large numbers of missionaries in the Congo for conversion purposes, which goes back to what we talked about on last week, the missionaries, or week before last, the missionaries, the merchants, and the military have been a team of destruction against the humanity of Africa. Now, so they were going to send missionaries in. And so John Kasun was there representing the United States of America. Also, Henry Sanford was there representing the United States of America, and he was a former American minister to Belgium and an active sympathizer to King Leopold and his operations. So you had Kasun, who was there. Henry Stanford was there representing the United States. And you also had Henry Morton Stanley, who was there. And he was there at the Berlin Conference representing the United States. And he regarded himself as an American citizen and was financed by the United States. And so these men were there, and these were greedy European powers who sat down in Berlin, Germany from 1884 to 1887 and began to carve Africa into what we see the colonies of Africa today. These colonies, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Mozambique, Algeria, Tunisia, Uganda, Kenya, all the countries of Africa were carved out at the Berlin Conference by the powers of Europe in 1884 at the meeting on November 15th. And that's how we get these colonies of Africa. And I want to take a look at for a minute here at the word.
Dr. Bruce, can I just jump in for 1 second?
Sure, you know you can.
I want to stay, if you don't mind, for the sake of time, because we won't be able to get your full lecture. Can we stay on this university system? And I want to see if you can continue to talk about the influences that these universities have had, those primary PWIs that have influenced the system of education and knowledge in our country and around the world. And then I want to see if
I can. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do both because
okay.
I'm going to tie the university system in that I talked about in America in just a couple of minutes to the university to one of the universities that was involved in this Berlin conference. So I'm going to tie it all in together. That makes sense?
All right. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's a good question too, Brother Marvin. So and I guess you probably got some callers, too, who are tuned in.
Yeah, I got some
callers.
I wanted to see if I could pull Dr. Rogers in to piggyback on what you're saying.
Okay, well, let me just do this. Just for a couple of minutes here. The word colon, when you look at the word colon, I just want to make, you know, I like my word origins, like Brother Malcolm X, etymology. The word colon is the root of the word colony. And in the human body, and I'm reading from my book, page 141, in the human body, the colon is an extension of the large intestine. Similarly, the colony, or colony as we call it, colony, or an African nation, is an extension of an imperialist European nation. The mentality found in the African colony, or colony, is also the same as in the European nation. Thus, the mindset of Europe is placed in the heads of indigenous people everywhere that Europe has colonized. While each of the colonizing European nations had its own methods of control and administration over the Africans, according to Albert Memmi in his book, The Colonizer and the Colonized, he said, colonialism is above all economic and political exploitation. So just wanted to make the point of what a colony is, or colony as we call it, is just an extension of the mother country in the same way that the colon in the human body, where it originated, is the extension of the large intestine. Now, before I give it back to Dr. Brother Marvin, I'm going to talk about Cecil Rhodes, who was one of those early exploiters and invaders in the area of Zimbabwe. And he went to a school, and I'm tying this back into the university system now, and I'll talk about Rhodes maybe on week after next when we get back to this. But Cecil Rhodes was a student at Oxford University. And, of course, we all know Oxford University was a well-known university. But Oxford University, he had a lecturer, a professor by the name of John Ruskin. And Ruskin was a tremendous inspiration to Cecil Rhodes. And while sitting under the professorship of John Ruskin at Oxford University, actually, Cecil Rhodes found his purpose in life. Now, when I say that, what he did was Ruskin provided a lecture. And then before I give it back to Brother Marvin and we go to our lines or go to Dr. Rogers or whatever we're going to do, I want to just read what Cecil Rhodes said just briefly here. I mean, what Cecil Rhodes, not said, heard, pardon me, from John Ruskin, and just go to show our listeners how a professor or a teacher can become a tremendous inspiration on its students. Now, I'm quoting John Ruskin here from the University of Oxford, and also Cecil Rhodes is sitting in the classroom. And this is what Ruskin said. He said, there is a destiny now possible to us, the highest ever set before a nation to be accepted or refused. And he said further, will you use of England, make your country again a royal throne of kings, a sceptered isle for all the world, a source of light, a a sense of peace, mistress of learning and arts, faithful guardians of time, tried principles, and other under temptation from fond experience and licentious desires, and amidst the cruel and clamorous jealousies of the nation's worship in her strange valor of goodwill towards men. And now I'm going on with Ruskin here. He said, he was talking to his class, and this is what inspired Cecil Rhodes to proceed his advance into the country of Zimbabwe and eventually take over and name that country Rhodesia after himself. And this is what John Ruskin said, and Rhodes heard this as I do this and I begin to end this part of our program for this week. He said, "This is what England must either do or perish. She must found colonies as fast and as far as she is able, formed of her most energetic and worthiest men, seizing any piece of fruitful waste ground she can set her foot on, and there teaching her colonists that their chief virtue is to be fidelity to their country, or to be loyal to the country, and that their first aim is to advance the power of England by land and by sea." And then Ruskin goes on and he says, "There are men who will plow and sow for her, who will behave kindly and righteously for her, and who will bring their children to love her, and who will gladden themselves in her glory more than all the light of the tropical skies." Then he asks the students, he says, "You think it is an impossible ideal? Be it so. Refuse to accept it if you will, but see that you form your own in its stead. All that I ask of you." This is John Ruskin, the professor at Oxford University, speaking to his class, and Cecil Rhodes, the colonizer of South Africa, is in the class. He says, "All that I ask of you is to have a fixed purpose of some kind for your country and for yourselves, no matter how restricted, so that it be fixed and unselfish." As I say and in my conclusion for today, with this speech by Ruskin firmly ingrained in his mind, Cecil Rhodes, the British imperialist, proceeded to plan the theft of the resources of Zimbabwe. The general spread of Western civilization was not separated from the missionary role. And so I just want to mention that how lecturers like this program or professors and teachers or preachers can really inspire our young people to do what they have to do or to have a purpose in life. And that's the reason that Zimbabwe was taken over by Cecil Rhodes. He was inspired by his professor at Oxford University in the same way that some professors from Harvard, Brown, Yale, Radcliffe were inspired, not professors, students were inspired by professors at these schools to become racist so-called scholars in this country today. Okay, Brother Marvin, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. And I do want to, again, humbly apologize for the time issue, but we're going to make it work. So we'll go back to chapter 4. But I want to, like you just mentioned, again, I want to bring Dr. Rogers in if I can. The plan was to steal and take and occupy the lands of our ancestors. But not only that, the minds of our ancestors themselves, and the culture of our ancestors, and the
university
systems,
right.
Right, have been put in place to support that mechanism. So I want to engage in that conversation because I think it's so important that we have to understand how the role of the university systems are disseminating information down into the culture and the society that are influencing how we think about how we function in this country. All right,
okay.
Let me see if I can get Dr. Rogers in here. We'll have
bring Doc on in, and I've been talking for a minute. I'll take a little break, and let's hear from Doctor, and I'll come back on, and then maybe
right.
Got some callers. I told several people this week, should have some new people this week. Okay.
Yeah, we got some people on here, and I really want to apologize. Let me see if I can get Dr. Rogers in here. Dr. Rogers, are you there?
Yes, hi, good brothers. How you doing, brother?
Peace, my brother.
All right, welcome. Welcome.
Oh, man, you went out today, my brother. You know, unfortunately, I'm not going to have quite enough time to say what I would like to say. So what I'll do is I'll reserve this to next week, if that's okay with you. Because this is something that our audience definitely needs to understand. Dr. Bruce was talking today. is the foundation of why we're in the condition that we're in. So if I can, would you please let me pick that up next week? Like I said, I'm
yes,
multitasking
sir.
Right now. And I need to complete that. And then next week, I want to comment on what Dr. Bridges said. And maybe if he can be on, we can do some sharing together, because this is the foundation.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll do a tag team next week. Thank you, Dr. Rogers.
And he is right too, Brother Marvin, because these educational systems and most of these schools, like Oxford and like Harvard, they were the flagship universities, and the black or Negro colleges that were established by white people in most cases actually were offshoots or offspring from these major white universities. Is that right, Doc?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And that's right there near you where you are right now. You're a major player in that.
I didn't understand. What'd you say now?
That school that sits a few doors from where you live is a major player in what you're talking about.
Okay, and to those who are tuned in who might not know, Dr. Rogers is talking about North Carolina Central University. They definitely are a major player in Negro colleges and universities in this country. You're right.
That's right. That's right. And also, don't forget Duke, the role that Duke had to play in all of it.
That's right. Like, that's why I was saying to Brother Marvin that this could be a whole program on these universities, because Duke, oh, yes, no questions, slave-making university.
Yep. That goes for here, the University of Richmond, and up in Charlottesville, the University of Virginia. Our ancestors built those universities and
that's
worked
good
there
point,
for free.
Point.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So,
try
thank
to get
you,
some
Dr.
out.
Rogers. Yeah,
and Doc, we'll talk later on this week, and I'll be with you on next week.
All right, I think he had to step off. But let's go to the lines now. Okay, he's
I
there.
Just said,
let me put.
Dr. Rogers didn't hear me. I just said I'll be with you next week, and we'll talk later on this week.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right,
glad you're enjoying
you,
the program, though.
All right, let's see if we can get to the lines to take some questions. We've got about 18 minutes. 17 minutes going, and I don't want to rush, so I'm just going right down the line. And if you have any numbers to suggest, Dr. Bruce, you're more than welcome to suggest. I'm going over to 3953. What are you taking in today from this lecture from Dr. Bruce on these universities? 3953, you're live.
I guess they don't want to talk, huh? At least tell us you're listening
right.
And you're enjoying the program. Okay.
I'm listening. I had you guys muted.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's muted.
All right,
okay.
Welcome to the show. Brother Will,
all right. Yeah,
Harrisonburg is in the house.
All right. Like you said, with the universities, especially up here at UVA, they were one of the biggest research schools on African Americans back in the 1800s. And to this day, they still use that practice. They claim that the African American can handle pain better than white people. So that's why
that's
they
right.
give African Americans, you know, pain medicine.
Thank you, Brother Will. Thanks for calling. Also, if you want to, I know you're interested in getting Dr. Bruce's book, so. Dr. Bruce is on the line, and Dr. Bruce, again, if you could tell how to get your book, that would be
right. They
can
email
next call.
They can email me at brucebridgeslecturer@gmail.com, brucebridgeslecturer@gmail.com, or 919-956-5972. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Brother Will. All right. We're going over to 9737. You got your hand raised. 9737, you got a question or comment, where you calling from?
Yes, I need some advice. I'm a young man. I'm trying to find my way. I still live at home with my parents. Recently, I had an issue where, you know, my mother was cleaning up in my room. She was looking to find something, and she came across I had a Playboy magazine. Now I'm getting lectures every day about real women, you know, real women versus magazine women. And it just feels very intrusive. I don't really know what to do about it. It's very awkward, and I'm just trying to get some advice.
Okay, well, that's probably another show, but if you keep listening. Dr. Bruce, you want to take that, but I think that's another show.
No, go right ahead to another call, brother.
Yeah, for another
Excuse me.
Thank you for calling, though.
I really could use the help.
Appreciate it, though. Thank you. Well, I'll call you directly, 9737, and I can give you the best advice to get you the resources that you need. Thank you for calling. All right, let's go on over to 9266. Let me see. Hold on a second. Yeah, let me go to 9266. 9266, are you there? Where are you calling from?
Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Do you have a question or comment? I'm doing fine.
Yes, I just wanted to learn a little bit more information about Moors.
Okay,
right.
I was on mute. She said about information about the Moors.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. That's another good program, Brother Marvin. That's one we definitely don't have time to talk about now, but just to give you a little brief information, the Moors were the people from North Africa, as you probably already know. I don't know how much you already know, from North Africa who invaded Spain and Portugal in 711 A.D. and built the civilizations of Spain, Portugal, France, Germany, and actually extended on out into Belgium and Scotland and the British Isles. And the Moors were... it's just another whole lecture. I did a two-hour lecture, Brother George knows, on the Moors. So just stay tuned every Saturday with Brother Marvin, and we'll get to that.
All right.
Okay.
And I know that's a favorite topic of Brother George. Thank you, sister, for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's slide on over to 3347. Do you have a question or comment? Where are you calling from? 3347. All right, let's slide down.
3347.
7487. You're on live. Do you have a question or comment? Where are you calling from? All right. Let's move on over to 8502. You're on live. Do you have a question or comment? And where are you calling from? 8502.
Good afternoon, Brother Marvin. Good afternoon, Brother Bridges. This is Herbie White in Durham, North Carolina. Thank you again for a wonderful show. You know, just to piggyback off of some of the stuff he was talking about, you can deal with Harriet Washington's work on medical apartheid. And do a little investigation into the Rockefellers co-opting the medical feel when they, you know, made large contributions to the universities and stuff and took over medicine. That's why we have all of these medications and stuff now instead of healthy remedies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the Rockefellers. Look into what they role they have right now in this COVID thing.
Mm. It goes deep. It goes deep. Thank you, Brother Herbie. Appreciate you calling. Stay plugged in. All right. And we know that, you know, we used to hear stories where you had to be in by a certain time because those universities was going around snatching bodies to do experiments on. So that was the be in before the lights came on thing within many of our communities. Let's go down to 7061. Thanks, Brother Herbie. 7061, you're on live. Do you have a question or comment? Where are you calling from?
I have a statement. I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina. And
Durham in the house. Hey.
I'm just so elated. I'm so glad. My name is Winston. I'm from Texas. And Brother Bruce, I came up in the early 90s. And when Brother Bruce was speaking, beginning of the speech, and he... And you let him go ahead and continue because you say he needs to continue to finish what he was saying. And he mentioned Brother Benjamin Yakima. And I was just so glad because for a long time I've been trying to remember who that guy was. And so I just want to say, Brother Bruce, have so much knowledge and I learned so much. Like I said, I'm from Texas, but I didn't really know anything about black knowledge until I got to Durham, North Carolina, and I was going to the No Bookstore. And I learned so much from the speakers that used to come to the bookstore. And you'd be surprised how many black people are still hungry for black knowledge. There's a lot of stuff being talked about on C-SPAN. A lot of different things are being said. People call in making comments. But I'm glad to hear black people who are still interested in black people and who we are and what we are about. So thank you for the show, Brother Bruce. God bless. And
you know, thank you. Thank you for calling too, brother. Brother Marvin, that's one of our new callers. I gave him the number today, and he called. He'll probably be with us every week. Now he's got the number. He'll probably be with us every week from now on. Right, brother?
Yes, sir. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Brother Winston.
Yes, sir.
For joining the network. It's the Empowerment Network around the country, African Americans banding together to improve our conditions.
No doubt.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go on
and
over
tell some
to
people
zero,
about us.
0316. Yeah. Knowledge is power. 0316. Welcome to
hello?
The show. Where are you calling from? Yeah.
I'm calling from Maryland. And my question is... what's the difference between the land-grant HBCUs like Howard and a school like North Carolina Central, which you have affiliated as maybe like an offshoot of a white of the white university? So what's kind of the difference?
Okay, that's a good question. Now, some of the early land-grant colleges were granted just what they said. There were lands that were granted to ex-slaves or that had been plantations and that were sold or given to black people to start schools. And as an example, Prairie View A&M, which I mentioned today, Prairie View A&M is a university on the campus of Prairie View, Texas, and the land was owned by the plantation owner. I can't think of his name now. I'm trying to think of his name. But his family, after he was deceased, wanting to do the right thing and black people trying to start a school, gave some of that land to start Prairie View A&M University. And the same thing was done with Lamar College in Texas. Now, other schools were given money from the state or started state-supported schools, such as North Carolina Central University or North Carolina A&T University. And these schools, of course, were money donated by the state. And as I heard Mr. Farrakhan say one time, you know that the state donates you money, they're going to control the state of condition of the minds of the people coming out of those schools. You're going to only be gone be able to go so far. And then on the other note, you have those private institutions like Hampton University and Shaw University and Tuskegee, not Tuskegee, but Hampton and Shaw and several others around the country, Morehouse, Spelman. Those schools were started by funds from people just donating. So that's briefly what it is. Hope that kind of answers your question. And since you mentioned it too, Washington, D.C., since the caller mentioned it too, I think I know that voice. You know, Georgetown, which is another story, is one of those schools where the students and that activism got together and started trying to give back some money in reparations for enslaved people who built Georgetown University, because Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. also was built on the backs of slaves. And after the university was built, the slaves were sold down into New Orleans and areas of Louisiana, and the money from the sale of enslaved people from Georgetown to the plantations in Louisiana, that money was used to pay off some of the debt of Georgetown University back in Washington, D.C. So this thing is deep. It's really deep. But Brother Martin, right back to you now. It's deep.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. 6511, welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment? Where are you calling from? 6511.
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show, brother.
Yes, you here? Brother Marvin and Dr. Bruce Bridges, I'm learning something. History is the main thing people need to know about in America, you know. America is a melting pot, you know. All nation of people in this country, and you have opportunities as long as you need it, okay? What I'm trying to say, I'm going to be quick and short, you know. They're talking about all life matter. All life matter in America. They said black life matter, but all life matter. The Mexicans and then come here, and then things are doing well. Why they're doing well? They decide to work, right? The black folks stop on the side of the street and say they're homeless and hungry. They're not homeless and they're hungry, right? We need to stand up for our rights. You know, black folks could do better than what they're doing. So what I'm history, I'm learning a lot from Dr. Bruce Bridges and Marvin, and I keep listening to the show, you know. Thanks for the show. Very short, you know.
True.
Okay,
thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Carolina. Okay, quick and short. Move on.
Thank you, sir. All right, thank you. I do want to say this, right, to a lot of our listeners. There is a difference, and that is why we're doing African-American empowerment, because there is a system of oppression that our people have gone through since we've been here, right? And that conditioning is what you see a lot of times where people say, well, I can come from another country, or these people have come from another country, but they haven't been put through all of the systems, right, and all of the degradation and all of the disrespect and all of the menticide that we've gone through. And we have to understand that, right, because other people are coming from different cultures and they have a cultural background that's been taken and stolen and robbed from us, and we've been disenfranchised in so many ways. Dr. Bruce, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, and I want to thank that call, too, and by the sound of that particular caller's voice, I could tell, and I'm going to make this real brief, I'm looking at the time, too, he's from one of the islands, and I can tell that, and the islands were involved a whole lot with the money that was received. As a matter of fact, Harvard University, for example, to make it real quick, Harvard University received some money from plantation owners down in the country of Antigua that was given to Harvard University for the law school that I mentioned earlier. You see, and one thing that would happen too, people in the islands became a market for students in universities in this country. You see, they sent ambassadors from Harvard and Yale and Brown and those other northern universities to plantation owners in the South to get students to come. In other words, they recruited in the islands to make money for the universities in the northern part of the United States of America. You see, so there's so many connections with southern United States, northern America, the so-called northern colonies of Massachusetts Island, Connecticut, and connections between the islands of the Caribbean, and also connections with Africa. So it's all global information that we're giving here today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. I'm going to try to get one more in before we go. 7841, we got 2 minutes left. You get one of them. 7841.
Oh,
you have
Chip.
A question or comment?
Oh,
Chip. Hey, sister. 1 minute.
How you doing?
Hey,
I just
I'm fine.
Say I
how
love
you,
y'all,
sister?
And I love what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, sister. Appreciate you calling.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's it for this week. Dr. Bruce, any final comments? Then I'll go to Brother George and we'll wrap it.
Okay. Go right on to Brother George. I'll let him have it. But be sure to tune in on next week for Dr. William Rogers and Dr. Bruce Bridges. We'll be doing a tag team next week for more of this kind of information.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Brother George.
Sounds great, brother. It sounds great, brother. I can't wait. I think it's very necessary, you know, that we continue with this topic because it seems like it's a lot of interest in it. So back to you,
all right.
Brother Mark.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother George, for all that you do. And thank you, listeners, right? And thank you for calling in. Again, this show is about empowerment of a people who have come from a condition, right? And I want to be clear, right? Knowledge is power. We want to educate everyone, right? Not just our people, but at the same time, we have to understand the conditions that our people have had to absorb and endure in this country since we've been here. And we say 1619 is a starting point, but well before that, there were many challenges that our people faced, and we want to be able to bring our people up to par so that we won't have to have those conversations about why we're not doing it. We want to be able to heal. We want to be able to grow, and we want to be able to prosper our people. And the work is to educate our people politically, economic, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. Until next week, we're educating our people and doing the work. Don't be calling trolling us, because we still can work around you. Peace and blessings. That's right, I said it. Till next week, calling trolling our show. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.